So we left off. Tes Vav Amud Beis. Tes Vav Amud Beis. Last couple of lines. Tani Ra.
This section does contradict Lotitamba.
Right, correct. Correct. All right. Tani Rav Avadja Kamei Durava. Vili Maritem. So Rav Avadja said the name of Rava, Vili Maritem, Shehei Mudchatam. That when you teach, right, Vili Maritem Osam Espenechem, when you teach your children, your teaching should be complete. Should be complete. What does that mean? Sheyitein revach ben advekim. That you have to go ahead and leave space in between the letters that can be bunched together. What does that mean? He says, for example, Ani Rava Basrei Rava said, Kigon alev avecha, alev avechem, b'chol av avecha, b'chol av avechem, esav b'sadcha, v'avaretem mehera, haknaf p'sil, eschem e'aretz, shalos ha'yisidik ha'mdenamnerat, all of these words and all of these phrases. The word, the first word ends and the second word begins with the same letter. When that happens, when you have a phrase like that, it's easy to swallow up, usually, the first letter of the second word. Therefore, Rava says, v'limaritem means, shehei limudcha tam, ultimately, again, your teaching should be clear, and that make sure that the words that can easily blend into one another, that you articulate and enunciate them individually. He says, Amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, kol akori kriyashon avdakti b'osi osel, whoever reads Shema and is careful in articulating the words, mitzanin lo gehenam, is actually good. They cool down Gehenna for him. Shene Emar, also is interesting because this generally is not, you know, you don't see these advertised. You know, we've seen already, if you say Ashrei three times a day, you get Olam Haba, Kriyashon Olam Haba. Here, I guess this is not as big, but at least it will cool down Gehenna. So the Gemara says, Shene Emar, because the Pasuk says, it's insurance, because the Pasuk says, Bifaris Shoda Shokai Melochim, Ba Tashlik Bitsamon. So literally the Pasuk means that when God spreads out the monarchs, he will go ahead and he'll literally cloak Salmon, which means darkness, in Tashleg, in Shelig, in whiteness. So the Gemara says, Al Tikri Bifares Ella Bifaresh. So the Gemara says you have to darshan it. That the way to read the Pasuk is Bifaresh Shakai, when literally you articulate and enunciate your words, specifically the name of Hashem, then Al Tikri Bitsalmon Ella Bitsalmoves. Then God will cause the snow to fall on the Tsalmoves, which ultimately is a reference to Ganon. But Amr Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Laminismichu, top of Tazayin. O'alim l'nechalim. Why is there a juxtaposition between O'alim and Nechalim? Now, what does that mean? Tents and brooks. So the Gemara is referring to the Pasuk. Ki Nechalim nitayu. Ki ganos alei nar ki ka'ohalim nota Hashem arakarazim alameh alei mayim. So literally, like brooks that stretch forth, and like gardens on the side of the river, koalim nata, like tents that were pitched. So what's the connection between tents and brooks and rivers? Lomar lacha, ma nechalim ma'alin es ha'adam itun latara. Just like the river could go ahead and allow a person to emerge from their state of ritual impurity into a state of purity, if you use the brook like a river, af oalim ma'alin es ha'adam ikav chov lekav schus. So to tents, and specifically Rashi points out over here, it's called tents of Torah, have the ability to go ahead and raise up a person from kafchova, from liability, ultimately to merit. Hakor lemafreya lo yotza. So the Mishnah said, if you read Shema out of order, you are not yotze. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, havuka katrin le ginona the Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were preparing the chuppah for Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar was getting married, and his colleagues, his chaver, and Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were literally putting up the chuppah. Okay, so the Gemara says, the Amar lehu adahachi vahachi ezel ve'eshra milcha de be'midrasha ve'esi ve'emelecha. So Rabbi Elazar says, listen, you guys are hard at work. So, you know, while you guys are putting up the chuppah, while you guys are working, I'm going to go to the base medrash. Let me learn a little bit of Torah, and I'll come back and I'll share with you what I've learned. Okay. So he went to the base medrash and he found that there was a particular Tana teaching the following statement for Rabbi Yochanan. Kara vita. If a person's reading Shema, and what? And he made a mistake. But he doesn't know where he made the mistake. So, if he knows the mistake was somewhere in the middle of the paragraph, Yachzor l'rosh, he should go back to the beginning of the paragraph. Bein perek l'perek, if he made a mistake in between the paragraphs, Yachzor l'perek harishon, go back to the first chapter. Bein ksiva l'ksiva. Now, I remember that we have the same, the concept of ukshartem and uksavtem appear both in the first paragraph of Avihafta and the second paragraph of Vayam Shamoah. If you know you said it, but you're not sure where you were holding in the first paragraph or the second paragraph, then what? Yachzor l'ksiva rishona. Go back to the first, meaning go back to the Avihafta. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say the idea being that when in doubt, go back to the earliest place that you know you did in fact read. Amar li Rabbi Yochanan, how Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo shanu ela shelo pasach b'lamayin yirbu. Rabbi Yochanan says, that's only true if you did not say the phrase l'man yirbu yimechem. Ava pasach at the end of Vayam Shema. Avalim pasach. So, but if you know that you said the man yirbu, then what? Then that's a pretty clear indication that where were you holding? In the paragraph of Vahayayim Shamoa. We'll say, just you should know, that is halacha lemaisa. If you are Musupak, where you are in Shema, you always go back to the last place that you know you were, and you continue to read from there. But if you know that you said leman yirbu, that's a good indication that you were in fact in the end of Vahayayim Shamoa, and you keep on going. So now Rabbi Elazar comes back and shares this piece of Torah with Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, who maybe are still struggling with the chuppah. I mean, they're Jewish, you know, so it's going to take a while. So what happens? So Amrulay, they said to him, Ilu lo banu ela l'shma davar zed dayenu. So beautifully they said, you know, if we only came for this, right? Obviously they came to fix to put up the chuppah, but if we only came to hear this ruling, it would have been enough. Ha'omnin korin barosh ha'ila and mishnah. Workers read while they're standing in the tree, borosh hanidbach, or on top of the brick wall, masha'in rasha'in lasos kin b'tfila, something that they are not permitted to go ahead and do in Shemona Esrei. So also what the Mishnah is saying over here is, umnin are people who are engaged in labor, they're working for someone. So the halacha is that if, let's say, they're working in the trees, or they're working on top of a brick wall, they need not come down from where it is that they are working in order to recite Shema. They could recite Shema exactly where they are, as opposed to Shemona Esrei, which we'll see later on, where a person is obligated to actually come down and daven. So the Gemara says, Chasson, Patra mikriya Shema Laila Harishon, Va'ad Motzah Yishavisun La'asa Maisa. A Chasson is exempt from kriya Shema from the night that he got married until Motzah Yishavis. Now, Bosai, so remember, we, Baruch Hashem, before we started this Machzor of Daf Yomi, so we were doing Amud Yomi, we spent a couple of years on Maseches Ksuvos. The first Mishnah Maseches Ksuvos discusses that the way, at least in Talmudic times, people would often get married was on Wednesday night. That way, if there was some kind of taina with the besulim, if it turned out that the wife wasn't a virgin and there was a concern that perhaps something happened in between erusin and nisuin, the two stages of marriage, because b'zman gemara there was often up to a year between those two stages, they would be able to go to Beis Din immediately the next morning. So that's the model that the Mishnah is operating over here. You're getting married Wednesday night, so you have Wednesday night, Thursday night, Shabbos night, Friday night, and Motzai Shabbos. So the chasun is patur until Motzai Shabbos im lo asam. Meaning, if they did not consummate the relationship, so he has until Motzai Shabbos for his p'tur. If after Motzai Shabbos they still didn't consummate, he's then obligated in Kriyat Shema. Umaisa Rabbi Gamliel Shanasi Isha V'Kar Laila Rishona. When Rabbi Gamliel got married, he said Kriyat Shema the first night, the night of his wedding. Amru lo talmidav limaratana rabbeinu shechasan patur mikriyat shema. His talmidim said to him, Rebbe, right? You taught us that a chasan doesn't say shema. So listen to his answer. Amru lahem eni shomei lachem levatal hem eni malchus shema afilu sha'achas. So he said to them, I'm not listening to you. It was his teaching, right? I'm not listening to you to go ahead and miss out and negate the opportunity to accept upon myself the yoke of heaven. Amazing. Tana rabbanan. So listen to this. So the Gemara says, the umnin. So now the Gemara quotes a braisa. Umnin read on the top of the tree, on the top of the brick wall. Umispalalin berosh hazayis uberosh hateina. And they daven Shemona Esrei. Now listen to this, we'll say. All the Mishnah said about Shemona Esrei is what? Is that halacha lemaisa, Masha'in came to Shemona Esrei. Didn't tell us anything else. The Braisa comes along and says that you could go ahead and daven in an olive tree, brosh hazayis, ubrosh hateina, and a date tree. So Rashi points out over here just quickly, Mispalal brosh hazayis, brosh ha'ilan, Barosh HaZayis uBarosh HaTeino, excuse me. Bizman she'oskin bohen, mipnei she'anafeihem merubim, v'yecholin la'amod sham shelo bedochak, v'ein sham pacha lipo, l'fichach mispalin barosham. Ala b'shar lonos in mispalin. So we'll say, apparently the difference over here is in the olive tree and the fig tree, the leaves are much thicker. The idea is the reason you can't daven Shmona Esrei in a tree is because there's a fear of falling. If there's a fear of falling, that ruins your concentration. These trees have thicker leaves, so because of that, a person could have a solid standing, and therefore you could even go ahead and say Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, but every other tree you have to come down and you have to daven. Ubala bayis benkach ubenkach yori lamato umispalo lefishein daito miyusheves alav. Now, Bosse, this also is halach lamaisa. This all applies to the workers. Why? Because the workers are on the clock. So here's first of all an amazing insight into how the Torah views, or how the halacha views the employee. When you are on someone else's clock, even your spiritual needs must become secondary to your responsibility to your employer. So the point that here, no, we're not going to, if you want to daven a 45-minute Kriyat Shema, shaking the universe with your Kabbalah, Omachu Shamayim, do that on your own time. But when you are on the clock, you have an obligation to minimize all external responsibilities, even those responsibilities towards God. The one exception, therefore, is the employer himself. So the employer has no rishus to daven Shema up in the trees. Why? Because he's the balabas. Because he's the balabas, he needs to come down. Rami Alei Rav Mari Bered Debash Shmuel L'Rava. This is very interesting. So Rav Mari, the son of the daughter of Shmuel, said to Rava. Now I will say, this is just very interesting, just so you should know, Rashi points this out. Shmuel had a daughter, Rachel. Rachel was taken captive by non-Jewish captors and was violated by her captor. She became pregnant by her captor, and she had a son named Rav Mari. Mari, great Talmud Chacham, grandson of Shmuel. Amazingly enough, her captor converted. He was a man by the name of Isser. But because he converted, but it was, we're leaving aside that name, right? But because his parents had a sense of humor, or he had a sense of humor. The interesting part is because he converted after Rachel conceived, so therefore from a halachic perspective, Rav Mari was always identified as his mother's child and not as his father's child. So that's why you often find he's always referred to as Rav Mari Bered Hashmuel or Rav Mari Bered Rachel. So he says to Rav, and that's all, you can see that all in Rashi. Tanan, ha'umdim korin barosh ha'ilan, the workers go ahead and read while they're standing on top of the tree, u'barosh ha'nidbak, and on top of the wall. Alma, lo bai kavana. So you see from here that what? That obviously you don't require kavana for kriya shema, otherwise we wouldn't allow people to daven up here. Or minui, but already is a contradiction. Ha'kori eshma tar sheikh havin es libo, if one reads shema, you have to have kavana shene emar, shema Yisrael. Because the pasuk says Shema Yisrael, Ula halon hu omer haskes u'Shema Yisrael, and later on it says haskes, be attentive and listen, O Israel. Ma lahalon b'haskes, just like over here in Devarim, the Shema Yisrael is with haskes, is with attentiveness. Afkan b'haskes, so to over here when you say Shema, it also has to be attentive. Ishtik. So Rava was quiet. Amarlei mi dishmi alechabaha. So Rava says to Amari, did you hear anything about this? Amarlei haki amar Rav Sheshes. Vahu shebetelin mimalachton v'korin. So Rav Shesha said, you're right. The case of where the umnin read kriyashma up in the tree or on top of the brick wall is not where they're continuing their work. What are they doing? They're stopping to work while they say Shema. Just the only difference is they're not coming down. So because, again, they're stopping their work, that allows them to have kavana. But to minimize the amount of downtime, we allow them to remain up in the tree. Fine. So Rashi points out, all right. Rashi says, "Shuvtem malachton kadeshi ukorin bekavana rashon lehibatam imalachton." So we let them stop working so that they can recite Shema with kavana, but we don't let them come down so as to minimize the amount of downtime. Vatanya Beisilo omrim oskim imalachton vekorin. Aye, but Beisilo says that they could even continue working and read Shema. Lokasha haba perek rishon haba perek sheni. It's not a contradiction. One is dealing with the first chapter, one is dealing with the second chapter. Or in other words, that in the first chapter, which is Shema and Viahafta, you require kavana. So the workers would be obligated to go ahead and stop their working. They don't have to come down from the tree. However, when it comes to the second chapter, ultimately, then halacha l'maaseh, they're not obligated to go ahead and stop their work, and they could continue. Tan Rabbanan, hapolim shahayu osin melacha etzal balabayis. If workers were doing melacha by the balabayis, korin kriyashma, umivarchan lefanah ula achareha. So they say kriyashma, and they make the brachos before and after. Rashi says kitikuna. Alright, we'll actually went to the Rashi now. But ochlin pitan, when they eat their bread, umivarchan lefanah ula achareha. They make hamotzi and they bench afterwards. Umispa. Excuse me. Umispalulin tefila shoshmona esrei, and they daven shmona esrei. However, aval ein yordin lifnei ateva, they don't make a minyan, right? Even if there are 10 workers there, they don't make a minyan. Ve'ein nosin kapehem, and they don't duchen. They don't duchen. Va'tanyo me'ein yunches. But we learned elsewhere that workers on the job don't read a full shmona esrei, but rather they read me'ein yunches. Me'ein yunches. We'll see this later on in the fourth chapter of Brachos, which is this anyway machlokes in Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. Me'ein yunches, for our purposes right now, we'll call a shortened shmona esrei. Whether that means havinenu, which essentially is the first three, last three, and all of the middle ones condensed into one paragraph, or if it's some other form, the point is it's shorter than the regular shmona esrei. I'm sorry. Because that's the din of tefillah b'tzibur. Duchening is the din of chazar sashatz. Right? Once not having chazar sashatz, it's only d'oraisa if ultimately you're having duchening d'oraisa every day. I don't know. So the Gemara says, "Va'tanya me'en yurches." Amar Rav Sheshes lo kasha, Har Rav Gamliel, Har Rav Yoshua. Two different opinions. So the Gemara says, so we'll see that later on. Rav Gamliel is the one of the Mishnah who holds that every day you daven Shemona Esrei, and Rav Yoshua says you only say Me'ein Yurchas. So the Gemara is just saying it's not a contradiction. The two opinions over here, or the two brisos, reflect two different opinions. Rav Yoshua, my ear Yapol, mafilu kol Adam Nami. If it's Rav Yoshua, then ultimately, why is he only mentioning it by workers? Choose according to Rabbi Yoshua, everybody's only davening a shortened Shmona Esrei. Eliidi v'idi Rabbi Gamliel. Rather, you're right. Both prices reflect the view of Rabbi Gamliel. Velo kasha, kan ba'osin bischaron, kan ba'osin b'su'udasam. So also, there used to be two types of employment arrangements. Sometimes employees would work for a wage. Now remember, if you were employing someone, there's one thing you always gave them, which was food. This is interesting. If you had laborers who were laboring with you for the day, part of employment was you gave them food. Now, there were some people who only worked for food, bless you, and there were other people who worked for food plus wages. So the idea the Gemara says is like this. If you're just working for food, so already you're getting a little bit of a compromised wage, so you have a little bit more flexibility, you could daven a full Shmona Esrei. But if you are going ahead and working for food, you're getting food plus a wage, there's a heightened responsibility on the part of the employee, and therefore halacha l'maaseh, you must daven, you're only permitted to daven a shortened Shmona Esrei. But
obviously didn't have the minimum wage.
Minimum age might have been the meals. V'hatanya, polim shayu osim malacha etzal balabayis korin kriyashma. The Braisa says that polim who were working read shema, umispalalim and davin, va'ochlin piton, and they eat their bread. Ve'in mevarchin lefaneha. Eat their bread means they can have their meals. Now, interesting enough, this Braisa says they don't make the bracha of hamotzi. They don't make a bracha beforehand. Rashi points out why? Because the bracha before bread is not the oraisa. And afterwards they bench, but they only say two brachos. Ketzad, what do they do? Bracha rishona kitikuna. They say the first paragraph of benching. Shnia posiach beberkas aretz the kolin bone yushalim beberkas aretz. And what they do is they combine the second and third brachos of benching into one bracha. B'medvar mamurim, when is this true? B'osin bischaron, when they're working for a wage. Aval osin b'siudasan, but if they're only working for food. Oshahaya balabayis meisevimahem. Or if the balabayis was sitting with them. So we'll explore this more later on. If the balabayis is sitting with them, what does that mean? That means that the balabayis is okay with them. When the boss sits down with you to eat lunch, it means that he's okay with what it is that you're doing. In that case, mevarchen kitikuna. In that case, then we can make a hamotzi. We don't have to go ahead and do a rushed benching. We could say all three brachos because those are the first three doraisa brachos. That's permitted. So I'll say. So bottom line from this is that halacha lemaisa. What we see over here is that the umnin don't have to come down from the tree. However, they should stop their work, and they only need to have explicit kavana during the first part of Shema, which is Shema and V'yahavta, and then apparently for V'hayayim Shema to V'yomer, they not only could stay in the tree, but they could actually what? They could actually continue with their work. Chasan Patr Mikriya Shema. A chasan is exempt from Shema. Tanra Abana, B'shivta Chaba Ve'secha, when the Torah says when you're sitting in your home, Prat La'osek B'mitzvah, Prat La'osek B'mitzvah, this comes to exclude someone who is engaged in the mitzvah, meaning that someone who is engaged in the mitzvah is patur from Shema. Overlechtecha baderech, when you're walking on your way, prat l'chasan, we already saw this gemara, that comes to exclude a chasan. Mikan amru, meaning that a chasan doesn't have to say Shema. Mikan amru, from here we see, akornis esa basula patur v'esamana chayiv, that if you marry a basula, you're patur from Shema, but if you marry an almana, right, which, as we pointed out last time we learned this sugya on Sunday, almana doesn't just mean almana. Almana means second marriage, if you're marrying someone who's been married before, then chayiv, you are chayiv in Shema. So the Gemara says, by the way, my mashma, where do you get that ubalechta chabaderech comes to exclude a chasan? Right? How do you make that? What is that drasha based on? So the Gemara says, ki derech, because what does derech mean? Like on your way, ma derech rishus, just like when you decide to walk on your way, it's optional. Af hachanami rishus. So to belechtecha baderech means when you are engaged in any non-mitzvah activity. But if you're going ahead and what? If you're getting married, right? If you're a chasan, then you're potter. So the Gemara says, well, why do you say that? Milo askina de kazla dvar mitzvah, ba'afilu hachi amrachmana likri. So the Gemara says, well, why do you say that? Maybe belechtecha baderech means even when you're walking on your way to a mitzvah, right? Even when you're engaged in a mitzvah. And therefore the Chiddush, the Torah's teaching is that even when you're engaged in a mitzvah, you still have to say Shema. So the Gemara says, no, imkein lemakra beleches. May ubelechtecha, Shema mina beleches didachu dimechayeves had the mitzvah patiras. So the Gemara says, no, because it says ubelechtecha baderech. If it just would have said ubeleches baderech, when one walks on the way, but ubelechtecha, when you're engaged in your walking, when you're engaged in something in life that's for you, i.e. nan mitzvah, that's when you're chayiv in kriyashma. But if you're engaged in a maisa mitzvah, then halacha la maisa, you're potter. Ihachi ma'ira kosa besula. Afilu konis sa'amona nami. If that's the case, then getting married to an amona, getting married to a grusha is also a mitzvah. So why shouldn't you be potter from Shema even under those circumstances? To which the Gemara says, no. Because ha'acha tarid v'ha'acha lo tarid. Because there is, tarid literally means a preoccupation. There is a certain preoccupation that comes from certain concerns that are involved when marrying for the first time, having to do with the Bi'ir Rishona, the first act of relations. Is woman going to be a basula? Is she not going to be a basula? There's a fear of dam, a fear of all the different concerns. So the Gemara says there's a preoccupation when the man is marrying a basula, and that preoccupation doesn't exist when the woman's already been married before. To which the Gemara says, well, so just a repeat from Sunday. If you're telling me that the exemption from Shema is based on preoccupation, then let's say I'm a businessman, and my ship went down, right? I lost my merchandise, my portfolio plummeted. So this is tirda, ain't tirda gedolah mizo, right? I'm preoccupied with this. So the Gemara says, no. Alama Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amarav, Avil Chayi B'cholam B'sal Samuros B'tor, Chutz Minat Tzulim Shneem Rabbehen Fe'er, Shneem Ar Fe'ercha Chavush Alecha. So if that's the case, if preoccupation truly is an exemption, then why did Rav say that an Avil is Chayiv in all mitzvos, an Avil is Chayiv in all mitzvos, with the exception of Tfilin? And the only reason by Tfilin is because, again, Tfilin is called a crowning glory, and remember we spoke about this on Sunday, when Yechezkel's wife died, so God told him that he still has to do a number of different things. The things that God told Yechezkel he has to do, the Gemara understands would be activities that an Avel normally would not do, but that God was telling Yechezkel, you still have to do it. One of the things that God told Yechezkel you have to do is keep on your tefillin. From there we glean that an Avel does not wear tefillin on Yom Rishon on the first day. Coupled with the fact because it's called your glory. And an Avel has been robbed to a certain degree of his glory. But why is the Gemara bringing this down? Because an Avel is certainly preoccupied with his loss, and yet what? And yet what? The Gemara says that he's still chayiv in mitzvos. So you see that preoccupation is not the reason for exemption. To which the Gemara says, Amri hasam tirda derishos hacha tirda de mitzvah. You're right. It's not any preoccupation that exempts you from Kriyat Shema. It's only preoccupation related to a mitzvah. But preoccupation related to one's own issues is not an exemption for Kriyat Shema. So therefore, Akonis has Habasula, which is a preoccupation preoccupation with the bia, which is a preoccupation with bia, with a mitzvah, ultimately is an exemption for kriyashma, as opposed to tavasina. So when your boat capsizes, as much as that is preoccupation as well, it's tirda de rishus and therefore no exemption, says the Mishnah. Rachas laila harishon shemese ishto. This is continuation of Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel, amazing, just so dramatic, the two Mishnahs back to back. Right, the first Mishnah that we dealt with in Ahmed Aleph was Rabbi Gamliel getting married. Rabbi Gamliel getting married and still saying Shema. The second Mishnah now is Rabbi Gamliel's wife died. And what happened? Rabbi Gamliel washed, he bathed the first night, the Laila Rishon Shemese Ishto, the first night after his wife died. Now, also, just so you understand the case over here is, the situation here was, his wife had died that day, was buried that day. So this was the night after the burial. The night after the burial, Rabbi Gamliel washed. So Amrul Tamid of Limaratan Rabbeinu Sha'ava Asr Lirchos. So his student said to him, Rabbi, you taught us that an Ovel is not permitted to wash. Amr Lahem Eini Kishar Ovel. I am not like other people. Istinis Ani. Istinis. Istinis means, literally, I'm a very delicate person. What Rabbi Gamliel was saying was that, yes, you're not allowed to bathe, but for me, it actually would cause me pain. My disposition is such that it would cause me pain if I didn't bathe, and therefore the halacha doesn't apply to an istinus. Ukishameis Tevi Avdo, when Tevi, his servant, died. Now, Tevi was an Evet Kenani, right? Was a non-Jewish servant. Now remember, when you take a non-Jewish servant, interestingly enough, he becomes quasi-Jewish, because there's a tvila and a mila l'shem avdus, there's a circumcision and an immersion in a mikvah for the sake of servitude. Right? And at that point in time, he becomes chayiv in mitzvos that are non-time bound. All mitzvos are say she'ina zman grama. He becomes obligated. Were he to be emancipated, by the way, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So the Gemara says, ukishameis tevi avdo, when tevi, his eved kenani, died, kibel alav tanchumin. He accepted consolation. It doesn't mean that he sat shiva. What it means is that people came over and wished him consolation over the loss of his servant. Amrul Tamidav, his student said to him, Limaratan Rabbeinu Shemekam Tanchumin Ala Avadim, Rebbe, you taught us that we do not accept condolences over servants. Now, what's that? You say to yourself, what's the big deal? Why can't you accept condolences over an Eved Kanani? There was a concern, because if you begin to accept condolences, it could begin to look like a Shiva. If it begins to look like a Shiva, then people what? People could mistakenly assume that the Eved Kanani was a Jew. That is problematic, because if the Eved Kanani left family behind, we want to be very careful to know exactly who's Jew Jewish and who's not. So Rebbe, you taught us that we don't accept consolation for avodim. Amar lahan ein tavi avdi kishar kol avodim. My servant was not like all of the servants. Kosher haya. He was a good man. Okay, we'll see what that means. Chasan imrot zelikros kriyashma laila rishon kore. If the Chasan wants to go ahead now, now the Gemara is looping back. The Mishnah is looping back to the previous Mishnah. Previous Mishnah, we exempted the Chasan from the night he got married until Motzai Shabbos. What happens if the Chasan wants to read Shema? Kama says he can. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Lo kolarotze lito las Hashem yito. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no. You know, we call it an exemption, but once he's exempted, then what? Then what? Essentially, what the halacha is saying is, you're not allowed to, because the halacha assesses you, and the halacha assesses you that you are not able to have the requisite kavana tonight. And even if you feel that you can, we don't want you taking the chances, and therefore, according to Shimon Gamliel, the exemption, begins as an exemption, actually becomes a forced exemption. My time, Rabbi Gamliel. What's Rabbi Gamliel's logic? Meaning, why did he bathe on that first night? So what's interesting is, when his students ask him, he responds, I'm an istinus. Now that's interesting, but you need a little bit more than that. Meaning, what is the halachic mechanics of it? So the Gemara says, Kasavar, aninos laila dirabonon, dichsiv v'acharisa kiyom mar, ubimakom istinus lo gazru beirabonon. To which the Gemara says something very interesting, that Rabbi Gamliel said that aninos of the first night. Now, he doesn't really mean aninos over here, because aninos, we classically use that term to refer to the period between death and burial. Obviously, the case over here is Rabbi Gamliel's wife was already buried that day. So this is in Shiva. What Rabbi Gamliel is really saying is that anything after the first day of Shiva is Dirabanan, right? Again, and the truth is, Halacha L'maisa is actually a big machlokes. Aninos is Da'oraisa. The concept of Aninos is certainly biblical in nature. We have that by Lo Achalti Ba'oni Mimenu, right? We have the concept ultimately by Chumos and Maestros. So Aninos is Doraisa. Some say that Avelos Yom Rishon, the first day of Shiva, is Doraisa. But what everyone agrees with is what? That the rest of the days of Shiva are Dirabanan. So Rabbi Gamliel essentially was saying is now we're post first day of Shiva. It's Dirabanan. Because it's Dirabanan, the rabbis never impose their decrees on situations where it imposes a severe degree of personal hardship. So if a person is an istinus, if a person is exceptionally delicate, and therefore the restriction on bathing is going to cause them incredible pain, so Halach L'maaseh, the rabbis did not impose their decree in that particular situation. He says, "Kishemis teli avdo tana rabbanon avodim ushvachos." And Rabbi says, "You should just know that is halacha lemaisa. That's halacha lemaisa nilkos adelus as well, which is that there is a restriction on bathing in for avelus. But if a person is an istinus, meaning if a person just as its constitution is such that if he doesn't bathe, it's going to be very problematic for him. So we try to get by with colder bathing or lukewarm bathing. But if for some reason he needs to go ahead and actually bathe, then halacha lemaisa it's permitted." That just as an aside, happens to be, the reason why this is quite fascinating is because it's clear that hygienic standards have changed over time. Meaning in Bismana Gemara, to go without a shower or a bath for a week, not a problem. Today, the truth is, it's at least I think in first world countries, right? It's really unheard of. It's really unheard of. So when we get to Moed Katan, Mir Hashem, in a little while, we'll discuss that more in depth, but just food for thought. Tan Rabbana, Avadim Ushvachos in Omdin Alein Beshura. So when it comes to the death of non-Jewish servants and maidservants, in Omdin Alein Beshura, we don't form the line of consolation. So also we know that, Rahman Atzan, if you have to tend the Levaya, when the burial is over, we form a Shura. Two lines where we console the mourners. We don't form those lines for the Levaya of an Eved or a Shivcha. The in Omdin Alein Berchas Adelim. Also, in times of the Gemara, there was a bracha that people would assemble and say for the avel. We don't say that for the death of an eved or a shivcha. V'tanchumi avelim. We don't console them like mourners. Hamakom yinachem eschem. Mas masa umesa shivchas osh Rabbi Eliezer. The maidservant of Rabbi Eliezer died. Michnesu tamidav l'nachamo. His students came in to console him. Kevan shira osam alala aliyah. When he saw them, he ran upstairs. He ran upstairs to the attic. They followed him. Nichnas la'an pilon. Right, Rashi says, Bayis katan shalifnei traklin hagadol. He went into another room off the antechamber. Right, nichnasu acharav. They followed him. Nichnas l'traklin. He went into the hallway. Nichnasu acharav. They followed him. So I'll say, they're obviously not getting the hint over here. Rabbi Eliezer is running away from them. Right, Rabbi Eliezer does not want to accept consolation over his maidservant, because that's what the halacha says. He's trying not to really be too abrasive with them and tell them what the heck are you guys doing. So he's trying just to move away. And what happens? He says, "Kimeduma ani sha'atem nichvim b'poshrim." So Rabbi Eliezer says to them, I thought that you'd get burned with lukewarm water. Now I see that you're not even getting burned with scalding water. Or another, right. In other words, I guess that's the Talmudic way for saying you're really not getting the hint over here. Lo kach shan islam, have I not taught you? Avadim ushvachos ein omdin alein b'shura. Have I not taught you that when it comes to servants and maidservants, we do not go ahead and stand in a line of consolation? Ve'ein omdin alein b'erchas aveilim. We don't say the bracha for the mourners. We don't. By the way, we don't do that bracha anymore. We don't have that bracha, but that bracha, for reasons that we'll see later on, we don't have that bracha. We do not console the mourners. But what? So what do you say? What do you say to someone who lost a servant? You know what you say to someone to console them for the loss of their servant? The same thing that you would console them for the loss of any other piece of property. If they lost their donkey. She says, Hamakom yimali lecha chesronecha. Kach omrim lo al avado va'al shivchaso. Hamakom yimali lecha chesronecha. The same way that if a person lost a piece of property, people would console each other and say, God should go ahead and fill your loss. So too, when someone loses a servant or a maidservant, the bracha is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should go ahead and fill your loss. God should fill up that which you lack. Tanya Idach. Avodim Ushvachos in Maspidin Osam. Another bright that teaches us we don't eulogize Avodim and Shvachos. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Eved Kasher Hu. So Rabbi Yossi says, well, if you ever kosher, and I will say, the topic, again, is also Moed Katan, about an Adam kosher. What is, like, for example, the halacha is just an aside. The halacha is, very quick aside, the halacha is that you're supposed to tear kriya for an adam kasher. Now, what is an adam kasher? So, all right, you could say it's a good person. Adam kasher means a person of real moral fiber, a good person. Doesn't have to be a tzaddik, doesn't have to be a great talmid chacham, doesn't have to be a gadol hador, just someone who clearly lived his life with a sincere goodness. So Omri, my love, have ish tov, v'ne'eman, v'ne'ne mi'yegiyo. So what happens? So Rabbi Yossi said, as much as we don't eulogize the avadim and shvachos, but if he was an adam kasher, you say he was a good man, he was trustworthy, and he benefited from his labor.
So you don't have to be related to him.
Well, you're not. You can't be related to an eved.
No, not an adam kasher.
No, any adam kasher. I mean, we don't do this today, but the Gemara discusses it. So how did they eulogize an Eved? He was a good man, he was trustworthy, and he worked hard. So we'll say this is going to blow you away. Amrulo, they said to Rabbi Yossi, Im kein mahi nachta l'ksherim. If that's the case, then what have you left over for the rest of us? So I'll say, hear what this means? So I'll say, this is such a profound Gemara, because the Gemara is saying, you know what the best eulogy is? The best way that people could remember you, what are the greatest achievements in life? You were a good person. Now, that doesn't mean like this good person that doesn't care about it. It means you were a good person, that you did what you were supposed to do in life. Ne'eman, you were trustworthy. People were able to rely on you. V'ne'ne mi'yegiyo. And what you got in life, you got because you worked for it. Those are the pinnacles of human accomplishment. So I said to Rabbi Yossi, how can you eulogize an Eved with that? What have you left for everyone else? If this year was 3 hours, we would spend 2 hours on that. So Tana Rabbanan, in Korin Avos, Ela L'Shlosha. I'm sorry?
There's no answer.
Wait, because Rabbi Yossi said, you're right. Rabbi Yossi said, you're right. Tana Rabbanan, in Korin Avos, Ela L'Shlosha. So there, the Gemara says, we only call three people our Avos. Meaning only Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov are called the Avos, and let's say not the Shvatim. Ve'in korin imos el arba, and we only call the imos Sarif, Garacha, and Leah, and no one else. So the Gemara says, Avos my time. Why are only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why aren't the Shvatim called the Avos? Ilei mishum de lo yadinon imi Reuven kasinon, mishum kasinon, ihachi imos nami. If you'll say it's because, well, we don't really know what Shevet we're from, meaning unless, of course, you're a Kohen or a Levi, we don't really know what Shevet we're from, and therefore to call the Shvatim Avos, our fathers, well, you can't call him father because I don't know if he's my father. Well, if that's the case, then the truth is, how do we call Rachel and Leah Imos? Because ultimately, we don't know if we're from, I mean, again, Kohanim and Levian though, but the rest of us don't know if we're from Rachel or from Leah. So the Gemara says, Ela ad hacha chashivi, tfeilo chashivi. Rather, what it means is that, no, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarif, Garacha, and Leah occupied a special importance within Klal Yisrael. Therefore, yes, there were other important people, but not as important. To show this specific level of importance, they're called Avos and Imos. Tanya Idach. Avadu Mushvachos in Korin Osa Abba Ploni, the Ima Plonis. So here's interesting. The Brisa says that Avadim and Shvachos, you don't call them father and mother. Now, that's not talking about their children, Rashi points out, but interesting enough, at times of the Gemara, apparently, the way often you would address elders is by calling them father and mother. Now, those were terms of respect. So the Gemara says you would not use those terms by an Eved and a Shivcha. V'shor Rabbi Gamliel, how you Korin Osa Abba Ploni, the Ima Plonis, Masa Listar. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Gamliel's servants, people used to call, you know, Abba, whatever, and whatever his first name was. Ima, whatever her first name was. So he goes, I don't understand that you're bringing this story to contradict the ruling. The statement said before that we do not call Avadim and Shvachos Abba and Ima. So the Gemara says, no, Mishum de Chashivi. Rabbi Gamliel, of course, who was the Nasi. Right, Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Jewish people. His Avadim even had a place of prominence within the Jewish people, and therefore they were called Abba and Ima, but under normal circumstances, you wouldn't call a Shivcha or an Eved Abba and Ima. Am Rabbi Lazar, my Dichsiv, Kain Avarech Echa B'Chayai, B'Shimcha Esa, here the Pasuk is by Tehillim, Kain Avarech Echa B'Chayai, B'Shimcha Esa Kapai, so I will bless you in my life. Through your name, I will lift my hands. So the Gemara says, Kin Avarecha B'Chayai, Zo Kriya Shema. So this idea that I will bless you with my life, that refers to Shema. B'Shimcha Esa Kapai, with your name, I will go ahead and lift my hands. Zo Tfila. And if you do this, I love Hakos of Omer, the Pasuk says about you, Kimochelev Videshen Tifse, Kimochelev Videshen Tisba Nafshi. with the fats and deshen, and right in the grains, my soul will be satiated. You inherit two worlds. Ha'olam hazeh va'olam haba. This world and the next. Meaning, Gemara is saying over here, if a person davens Shema and Shmona Esther with Kavana, they have the ability to inherit two worlds. Not only that, Shne Emar v'sifse renonos yahalal pi. Rabbi Elazar Basar de Messayim Tzaluse Amar Hachi. Now, I will say, now the Gemara is going to get into an interesting sugya of additional tfilos that these Rabbanim would say at the end of their Shmona Esrei. God, it should be your will, right? It should be your will before you, God, Hashem our God. That you should rest within our canopy, love and brotherhood and peace and camaraderie. And allow our borders to be enlarged, allow, we'll call it our borders, our boundaries, to be enlarged with Talmidei Chachamim. V'tatzliach sofeinu acharis v'tikva, and allow us to succeed in our end, and allow our goal to be filled with hope. V'tosim chalkinu b'gan Eden, give our portion in Gan Eden. V'siknenu b'chaver tov, v'yetzer tov, b'olamecha, and allow us, and establish us with good friends, with a good yetzer in your world, v'nashkim v'nimtza yochol levavenu liyira eshemecha. And when we awake in the morning, let the desire of our heart to be to fear your name, v'tavo lefanecha koras nafshenu letova, and allow the good deeds and the good wills of our heart to come before you. Rabbi Yochanan Basar, so we'll say these are all, just so you understand where the Gemara is going with this, you know that Elokai Nitzor that we see at the end of Shemona Esrei, so remember Shemona Esrei ends really right after Hamvarech Esamo Yisrael Bashalom. So that the Gemara is going to point out is these extra add-ons that we have, or the concept of Elokai Nitzor actually comes from the fact that many already in times of the Gemara were going ahead and what? We're going ahead and already adding on these supplemental tefillos. Alright, well, we'll have to stop over here. We will, Emirat Hashem, pick up again this evening, 6:15. 6:15.